I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the first set of festive fixtures. Celtic's lead at the top sits at 9 points after being held for only the second time this season, 0-0 at Dundee United. Rangers go second for the first time with a win against Dundee as Aberdeen lose to Hibs, and there were big wins for the likes of Hearts and St Mirren. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight for your festive special you have Andy the Christmas Tree Halliday and Roger the Elf Hannah.
Just two more sleeps, Gordon, to Christmas. And you've chosen three wise men to review this weekend's football. As you say, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs, St Mirren get a priceless gift of 3 points. Jim Goodwin spoiled his own son's Christmas by denying Celtic 3 points yesterday. Dan Casey get the most unwanted Christmas card of the festive season at Fir Park on Friday night. And in this season of goodwill to all men, the same referee chose not to penalise the man sitting to my right for that foul on Brad Lyons.
You have never looked better. For those in the live stream, Andy Halliday dressed as a Christmas tree, Roger Hannah with his elf ears on. This is a farce, quite frankly. What about the football over the weekend?
Roger looks tremendous. You look something like a Tim Allen movie. Anyway, on to the football. Celtic's lead obviously cut into the top of the table, something I didn't expect to be saying this coming Monday. And like you said, quite rightly said, some big wins for St Mirren, Hibs and of course Hearts. That Hearts and Johnson game just felt like the first real 6 pointer of the season, and the Jambos managed to come out on top.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So what did you make of the weekend's football? Quite simple, every team in the top flight was involved. So what did you make of it? If we start yesterday and work backwards, Celtic fans, is that sort of stuff just inevitable? Is it just a small blip? Is it bound to happen in a season? Is it not going to keep you up at night? Or are you the type that feels a bit more concerned about recent performances and thinks this is the start of a worrying time, or players dipping in form at the wrong stage? However you look back on it, let us know please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, you've gone second for the first time this season. I know by general Glasgow standards it's not really something to celebrate, but how does it feel now when you see Celtic drop points yesterday? Are you starting to believe a little bit, or is it not quite at that stage yet? Do let us know. Are you happy enough with the 1-0? Clearly there were chances to make it more. Does that concern you, or is that fine? Is that something that will come on another day? 0141 951 1025. Now last week was all about refereeing decisions, and I was pretty hopeful we would move on. No talk about VAR or Willie Collum or KMI panels. And then we had Fir Park, we had Dingwall, and we had various other episodes over the weekend. So if you want to share your thoughts on those, again, same number, 0141 951 1025. And even if you're unsure about calling, think of it as a public service, because we've made a deal that will only take these ridiculous Christmas costumes off once we've had a few calls. So you need to get Andy Halliday out of that, because he's sweating buckets over here and I am concerned about him. What was your result of the weekend, you two?
You want to go first?
Yes, Elf? I'll go for Hibs. It wasn't good that job. Many Mondays ago we were worrying about David Gray's job security, and he's turned them around, and to lose the opening goal of Pittodrie and storm back and win 3-1, they are now up at 8th in the table and they'll be feeling good about themselves going to Tynecastle for an Edinburgh derby on Boxing Day.
I'll go for their neighbours then. It's got to be Hearts for me. Like I said, it felt like the real first 6 pointer of the season. The past six sides that have been bottom of the table at Christmas time, four of them were relegated, so I think that's always a sort of barometer where you don't want to be at this time of year. And Hearts managed to get the all-important victory.
Okay, goal of the weekend.
I was right behind it when he scored it, Gordon. Ocean Smith, that free kick winner for St Mirren in the last minute against Ross County at Dingwall. As soon as he left his foot, you knew it was going in. And they celebrated with 435 brave buddies who made their way up there to the Highlands.
I don't think you had loads of choice this weekend, if I do say so myself, but what was your award winner, Andy?
I think I've got the standout winner. I'm going back to Tynecastle and I'm going for Blair Spittle. I think he's starting to hit the form that got me his move to Tynecastle. That's 5 goals for the season now, and for me that's probably been the pick of the bunch. He, you know, watches it all the way for 30 feet in the air, manages to judge the flight of it, catches it sweet in the ball into the bottom corner.
Tough technique that, isn't it?
It's very tough technique. Okay, yeah, especially when it comes that high and steep, shall we say.
Where you are spoiled for choice, your howler of the weekend. Let's start with you, Andy Halliday. I'm very, very interested as to how you're going to play this.
So is the SFA disciplinary department?
Well, listen, I think I've been pretty much on side with the referees this year. Okay. I think for the most part, I think there's been improvements in certain areas. But I thought Chris Graham had a poor weekend, shall we say. Obviously, the main talking point, of course, is Dan Casey.
Oh, is it?
I don't think there was any other instance, really, of not to talk about in the game. Okay. But listen, all jokes aside, I probably get away with one myself, so... I was hoping we could speak under that, but I knew.
I was just wondering if you would admit it. I'm happy you got away with it.
Do you know what? See, at the time as well, I thought, nah, he's stepped across my running line, but watching it back, nah, it's probably a bit.
Fantastic. See the feigning injury, they going down as if he's been fouled.
Some say cheating.
Epic.
That's the experience.
But did you all sort of. I mean, because people are. Like, we all see mistakes, we all moan about mistakes for our own teams and so on, but that Dan Casey one's gone to a level where, you know, people from. I'm not going to say people all over Europe are talking about it.
But people all over Lanarkshire.
John McGinn's tweeting about it. People are saying it's like the worst I've ever seen, all that sort of stuff. Is that the way you boys felt about
it? I think
it is
just one of the cases where even when the red card gets brandished, you just feel like, oh, don't worry. That's what we've got VAR for. VAR's there. And then, of course, when Chris Graham gets sent over the monitor, you only really expect it to go one way. It gets downgraded to a yellow and we play on with the game. And I think that's the real disappointing factor for me. It's the fact he's managed to have a second look at it and stick to his decision, I thought was really disappointing.
Okay, plenty more time to discuss those types of things as the evening progresses. What was your howler, Roger? Because there were a few.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Dingwall I was pestering you on Saturday afternoon. I kept messaging you in the show, Gordon, to say it's a VAR check for a penalty in Dingwall. Three of them in quick succession. All three turned down. But I think probably the worst was Eamon Brophy, on as a sub. Wow. Fouled by Richard Taylor. I was... two-thirds of the way down the pitch from it and you still knew it was a penalty, and quite remarkable it wasn't given.
Okay, let's go a bit more positive then. Who is your top man, your top performer, your standout award winner? Can be anything at all.
Well, I've went for Martin Boyle.
I like it.
Such as he's been a main man for such a long period of time, and I think his form sort of coincided with his team's form for the sort of first 3-4 months of the season. But such has been Hibs' upturning in form. You know, Martin Boyle's really starting to hit the heights that he can show as well, and I thought his best performance of the season came at Pittodrie at the weekend.
We're just discussing, we had too many obvious candidates, so I'm going to indulge myself and dip into the Championship. George Oakley, a wonderful Christmas for Ayr United, winning at Livingston, and Scott Brown's just keeping him on the periphery of that promotion race.
Right, okay, not who I thought you would go for, but that's fine. Each to their own. 01419511025. Trying to have any sort of serious football discussion when you're dressed as an elf, he's dressed as a Christmas tree, and I can barely hear any of you because this Santa hat, the fur, is in my ears.
Is that the same Santa suit Gordon Dale had on?
Do you know what it is? And it smells a bit funny.
Because it's not the fur I would worry about.
It does. It's got a certain, you know that way?
Mustiness.
01419511025. What did you make of the weekend's action yesterday, Celtic fans? Is that just one of those days that's going to happen in a season? Or was there more to it? Was there more that annoyed you, disappointed you, frustrated you? What do you think of the absentees and maybe players that aren't quite hitting their levels at the moment? Rangers fans, what did you make of Saturday? Big talking points for Park. Andy's here. That was all the rage when it came to the VAR debate over the weekend. Brilliant win, you St Mirren fans. And is Edinburgh finally starting to prove itself as a serious footballing part of the country again after a difficult start to the season? Do let us know how you're feeling on the phones right now. Just like Graham in Easterhouse has done. How are you, Graham?
Oh, hi, all right, how are you?
Not bad. What made you call tonight?
I watched the Motherwell game on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I was delighted with the referee and the VAR's performance, because I was beginning to think it was personal against Rangers. But I'm just delighted it was. And Halliday giving away a penalty, kidding on his injured, another joke.
It didn't give away a penalty, I think you'll find.
Ah, but it was a penalty. Well. He's got away with one, mate. Kidding on his injured, not that wrong about.
Told you experience, Graham.
Eh?
That's experience, Graham.
I don't know, teens, I call it.
I take, so Graham, I'm always fascinated when we get a refereeing decision that does kind of transcend the team that you support. Is it safe to say that the Friday night was a bit like that? You know, usually you'll only really care if you get refereeing decisions against your team. Was that night at Fir Park bad enough, you think, that everyone else starts to take notice?
I think so, mate. It's been like that for a while, but as Rangers fans, we think it's pet, but it's no. But that was Friday was shocking. I don't know the guy's name, but he should be sent down to juniors or something. That was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, I think we probably need to separate them out a bit, where there are always going to be mistakes. I always say that here. I'm the one that says it. That has to be your starting point. There are just going to be. So don't expect anything else, or forget football, because it's not for you. VAR, no VAR, there's still going to be mistakes. What I think you're hoping VAR does is take away these ones that the entire country, the entire planet, if they looked at it, would all think the opposite from what the outcome was, because then you've really got questions as to how that arises. And again, I've also seen a lot of people say, you know, VAR or get rid of VAR or whatever, which is, in this case, a totally separate incident, separate argument, because VAR calls the referee over. Mm-hmm. And what do we always say? They always overturn their decision when they go to the monitor. So this had all the makings of a really surprising outcome, didn't it, this one?
Well, listen, Chris Graham has clearly seen it wrongly, you think, at the time.
Which, again, is fine.
It's fine. And it's happened in 150 years of football. These things happen. But when David Dickinson directs him to go to the monitor, as you say, Gordon, everyone watching the game thinks, oh, well, you know, the VAR's seen it. He's going to overturn it. He'll maybe downgrade it to a yellow, the same as Danny Armstrong got, and we'll go on with the game. And he was very dismissive when he went to the monitor and just sort of, nah, off you go. And it was the doubling down, I think, is the most breathtaking part of the whole episode.
Were you off at that time?
Yeah, it was after 54 minutes.
Good view from the dugout.
But again, you get that old view where you're rewatching it on the iPad and you can hear the Kilmarnock's bench and you can hear the people behind you and say, oh, don't worry, it's going to go overturned. So again, there was no real worry that Dan Casey was going to be leaving the field of play within the next minute or so. But then obviously, like we says, when Chris Graham gets referred, to the monitor, and you just expect the game to continue in 11v11 and see out the last 10-15 minutes of the game, whatever it may be. So I think that was the most disappointing factor, like we says. But in general, listen, I don't want to start a witch hunt towards the referees. Like I says, I feel as if they performed well in most cases this year, but I just thought the way the game was refereed in general, there wasn't really any bad fouls within the game or really bad tackles, but just felt it was a real stop-start nature to the game and allowed sort of no flow for a Friday night telly game as well, where people going to tune in to watch the Scottish game.
I think that's maybe a fair point, Roger, as well. I think what's now going to happen this weekend and on is, because it's come into the forefront of everyone's mind again, we're now going to leap on everything and we're going to say, that's a mistake. And I do think the priority needs to be just eradicating these disasters. If the odd thing happens here or there, then fine. But it was a strange night. Even as somebody who had a vested emotional interest, found it very hard to watch.
Yeah, and what made it odd for me, Gordon, there was a contentious decision in the Premier Sports Cup final. You may have heard about it.
Yeah, once or twice.
And we were still discussing it in the show, and we were on a Friday night with Scott Allen, and we were just saying, well, like Colm could do with a quiet weekend.
Yep.
And we then go home and watch the closing moments of Motherwell Kilmarnock, and we see that happening. And you can only imagine what's going through Willie Collum's head when he's watching that, because he'll know it's a mistake. He'll know that the referee's doubled down on his mistake and has refused to correct it. And it's just coming at the worst possible time for refs. And
do you think that is important, that sort of that everyone still,
it's perception,
that people try and take a bit of a breath? Because I'm not saying it makes it okay, but if Dan Casey comes 2 months after Hamden,
it's not as bad.
The heat comes out of it a bit.
Yeah, it's not as bad.
And as you say, that is before you throw in Eamon Brophy, Richard Taylor, possibly Killian Phillips,
Aidan Connolly in the eighth game that was in the other channel.
I've told you this, ball's out of play, I can make my peace with the naked eye. I think you've got to
give you Callum Davidson's number.
Yeah, but you know, like I said at the weekend, there are degrees of mistakes.
Yeah, no,
I think
there are degrees of mistakes. That's a howler. It's completely unlike the Premier Sports Cup final one, in so much as the VAR got this one right. but the referee refused to take the advice.
Okay, Graham, what about your own team's performance and result of the weekend then, into second for the first time this season?
It was a good performance. It wasn't a great performance, but it was a good performance. They deserved to win. I don't think they're in any danger of getting beat. And I think once he gets, he needs two centre halves, but I think
he needs two. I'm interested though, what from Saturday made you say that? Because we barely saw Rangers defending at all.
I know, but that's a general point. In general, we need two centre halves. We'll finish second, they bother, I think. I'm not catching Celtic here, miles ahead of us, but if you can get a two centre halves, we'll be clearly second. And if they look at the bigger picture, three cup finals, he's had a chance to be in, he's been in them. Finished second to Celtic, good runs in Europe. Maybe have to just maybe bite the bullet and give him another season.
Yeah, like we said, Roger, I think in normal, let's go to Andy first actually, you're usually swept up in this, but second is not exactly something to shout about. However, this has been the start to the season where people said that Rangers might not finish second. In the last few weeks, that's been turned around pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think a big part of that's been down to Aberdeen's form. They're winless in six. Yeah. So I don't think that was something that anybody envisaged given their start to the season. But certainly not just results. I do think performance levels in particular have been vastly improved to what we've seen for the first maybe 11, 12 league games. And again, even referring to that Dundee game at the weekend, it wasn't the 1-0 that we watched at Tannadice for me. It wasn't the 1-0 that we watched when Rangers beat Hibs at Ibrox.
Or Hearts at Ibrox.
I felt as if it was a more comfortable performances. I think there was chances there to be extremely comfortable. They hit the woodwork four times within the game. So I do think, yes, result, but we so often talk about sometimes our results not enough at Rangers and Celtic. Rangers and Celtic fans, when they go to these home fixtures, they want to be impressed, they want to be entertained. And again, I think most Rangers fans will go away and think it was a decent performance.
Is that because, Roger, is that what drives the comfort levels for the Rangers fans? Is it all about performance level? Or does some of it come from goodwill being in the tank? You know, as an example, that miss that Iggeman produces,
yeah.
If Cyril Dessers does that 6 weeks ago, the reaction is off the scale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It feels like everybody maybe feels a bit better about themselves. Iggeman's got goodwill in the tank. The overall performance level was still better than these games Andy
100%.
Mentioned.
100%. And you see, it's about performances. It's not after the cup final. Rangers did three games before they play Celtic in the league at Ibrox. They've navigated the first one. They've beaten Dundee. It's only 1-0, but as Andy said, decent enough performance. They won the game. They now go to St Mirren on Boxing Day, and then they go to Andy Hallandy's Motherwell on the 29th. They have to win both those games.
Imagine he scored in back-to-back games against Rangers
and didn't celebrate.
Interesting.
Or like Lacaviti.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm starting to be on your side on this. Do you know that?
You gave it the old
Alex Lacaviti.
Did you mention that in the first 15 minutes?
And you were there.
Lacaviti was running about that.
No. Oh! He does the hands up. Alex Lacaviti scores against Ross County.
He had a think about it then, because I saw him away at the far end.
And he put the hands up like Andy Halliday, and nobody's batted an eyelid.
Let's get the video footage for Roger.
He's persecuted this
running
poor guy.
Running a bit daft, he said. What you
it's
see this
funny
back.
That. Let's thank Graham for his time and bring in Matt. Matt, how do you look back on things this weekend from a Rangers perspective?
Well, the last goal I say is that the league is still done because Celtic's 9 points ahead of us. But if Rangers beat Celtic and Hogman A, it's down to six, does the panel think there's a slight chance that Rangers can maybe turn this over? And tell Andy Halliday to take that Christmas tree up because it's just nothing for his looks.
Are you kidding? That's a bag. It's the best I've looked.
I like the star, how it continually just like falls down over your face.
Oh,
then you have to put it back.
It might need to come off next break. I'm getting very warm.
Yeah, I'm wondering when the cut off point is. Roger Hanna, Matt outlines a scenario that I think a lot of Rangers fans are considering. Are you considering it?
Not at the minute. If Rangers win the next three games, St Mirren away, Motherwell away, Celtic at home, then we'll have to consider it, because we're down to 6 points and you'll only be in the 2nd of January. So that is a title race. But the reason I say we're not considering it yet, St Mirren are back in the top six. They're 5 points clear of Dundee. They're going well. Motherwell going quite well, particularly at Fir Park. So they're difficult enough games. And then come the 2nd of January, Philip Clement will need to do something that he hasn't done in his Rangers career so far. He'll need to beat Celtic. But Matt, if Rangers win the next three games, the title race is on.
Andy?
Yeah, well, listen, Matt says, do you give them a slight chance? And if it's 6 points between the two teams come the 3rd of January, then yes, I would give them a slight chance, but I would still make Celtic heavy favourites. And like Rogers just pointed out there, they've still got two tough fixtures to navigate through within the next two. And even after that Celtic game, they then go to Hibs, who we can clearly see over the last month or so are a completely different Hibs side to Rangers faced at Ibrox and struggled mm-hmm. against, to be honest, only 2 months ago. But I think it'll be interesting, don't get me wrong. I think going into that, if the Rangers-Celtic game was tomorrow at Ibrox, I would probably give Rangers a better chance than I've gave them for most sort of Old Firm games that we've led up to in recent times. But it will certainly make for an interesting end of the season.
Matt, is that the problem here? Everybody gets excited and looks to the Celtic game. Are you, how sure are you Rangers win both away games before that?
The way they're playing just now, I think they'll win the next two games, and it comes down to the Old Firm game. But as you say, Clement's got to change something. But at the cup final showed us a wee bit of how we can get to Celtic. You know what I mean? They got a couple of contentious decisions against us. We sold 3 goals. We got a penalty we was not given. But there's hope there. And I wouldn't give up on them.
That's fit. Matt has Christmas hope. Nothing wrong with that. 01419511025. What do you Celtic fans think after yesterday? Does yesterday say anything about a change in the title race? Or is it just one of those days that is bound to happen? I've been fascinated at the social media reaction to this amongst your fan base, because for so many people they're saying we've only dropped points twice, the terrible conditions, half the full defence nearly was missing, no problem, move on. And for others, maybe a bit more critical about certain players and about certain performance levels. So do give us a call on 01419511025.
I'll bring you breaking news, Gordon.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Hannah has returned from her work and switched on the live feed of this show.
And is she asking you not to come home, or is she asking you to bring that costume with you?
The reaction certainly cannot be broadcast at 6:23 on a Monday.
Okay, well, that may be the latter then.
It's funny that you just mentioned that, because Mrs. Halliday's just tuned into the live stream as well.
What are you dressed up as
in Cabo Wells?
And you know what, just to make it 3 out of 3, I am howling, why does that star keep falling on Andy's face? Anyway, give us a call right now and we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday, Roger Hannah, both here, both ready for your calls on 01419511025. They've kept their festive costumes on.
By the way, I had a valid reason. He's got to get that back on.
Ah, you look great with that hat on.
That's affecting
Roger
nothing.
Hannah, put that back on, please. Thank you.
There we are.
My hat was too warm. The fur was in my ears and I couldn't hear what the callers were saying. And Andy was about to combust, but you are looking fantastic. I appreciate for many of you listening.
That's bad for my health.
That's out of order from you.
Sorry.
That is a yellow card.
I love
card.
A good dad joke.
For those of you just listening on radio or on your Clyde One app or whatever, this is lost on you, but we thought we'd go a bit festive tonight, since it's the final show before the big day. We're looking back on what we said at the weekend was surely the first of the festive fixtures. We all know they come pretty quickly at this time of year. So let's bring in David, who's a Celtic fan. How do you look back on yesterday, David?
We gave players a rest again, and when you're not playing your first team, then you don't expect to win every game. We're not going to lose, but we don't expect to win every game. We've dropped 4 points this season. Four. Rangers are still 9 points behind us in what, 18 goals, I think it is? Maybe 20 goals? I've not looked at the table. We play them in a week and a bit's time, 10 days. We'll take 3 off Rangers again, but we'll not concede 3 this time. Rangers have had 2 or 3 draws against us, moral wins as they call them. We gifted them goals in the cup final. They never gifted us goals. Greg Taylor gifted them the first one, and Anthony Ralston, no one in the header just after Celtic had went 3-2 up. But Ibrox, we'll take 3 off them again. We're better than them. We've got better players than them, and we'll show it again in Ibrox.
So the gist of it, you're not worried yet. You're not worried about yesterday?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
What do you think, Andy?
I'm of an age where you went to Pittodrie and you went to Tynecastle, you went to Tannadice, and getting a point of the time was a good result, and taking a point. Didn't he like to play well to home, and it was tricky conditions yesterday.
What did you make of it? Anything bigger picture to be read into yesterday, or inevitable that you're going to have those days in a season?
I think inevitable. I think going into the game, you know, we spoke about our game on Friday night, how the weather sort of hampered the game. I thought it was no different to Tannadice. And again, although they never scored, it was a 0-0 draw. I thought Celtic were still very comfortable in the game. When I actually seen the team lineups, I think where Celtic have been really impressive this year has been defensively. So when you've seen the team lineup and three out the sort of natural four that you expect to see for in Celtic's back line, you thought, you know, maybe Dundee United can cause them problems going the other way. But I don't think Dundee United had a shot on target, do they? And that's where the, you know, the league's top marksman and Sam Dalby up front. And I actually thought the you know, three of the back four that came in for Celtic were okay. Stephen Welsh in particular, I thought was arguably Celtic's best playmaker with a couple of the passes he played leading out for the back. But listen, I don't think they created as much as they certainly have been going forward.
Well, Roger, David says rested. I think Brendan Rodgers said before the game there had been a bug.
Yeah, two centre halves are out with a bug. Alistair Johnson, I think, they're knocked. Nicholas Coon seems to have an injury, a bit vague as to how many games he would miss as well. I think there'll be irritation. You know, I would expect several changes for the game against your Motherwell team on Boxing Day, probably more for the St Johnson game next Sunday. But all the big guns will be back for Ibrox in the second of January.
It's interesting. Yesterday, I sort of thought along the lines that David was saying about, well, you know, if you're going to have a game where a lot of your big hitters are missing, it's miserable conditions, it's away from home, you might draw the game. That's going to happen. You're not going to play 38, win 38, right? So days like yesterday. But then Andy does make a fair point. The changes at the back really didn't make a difference because Celtic had very little defending to do. Now, I suppose you could say maybe Alistair Johnson's better at sort of joining in and attacking, or, you know, Cameron Carter-Vickers does carry the ball quite well. So I would take that point, but I don't think the back line really, it's not like it looked particularly ropey.
No, not at all. It's a frustrating lunchtime, if you like, for Celtic supporters. I think what they've seen this season, they would expect, even going into the 6 minutes of added time, they probably expected Celtic to crack that United defence and score a goal. And they didn't. I don't think it's a particular problem. I don't think David and the other Celtic fans will have lain awake through the night worrying about it. They'll come back against Motherwell and St Johnson. They'll shuffle the resources again. Not having Coon, not having Forrest, I think that is a bigger issue than not having you know, some of those defenders at the minute, because they're two very creative forces.
I was just going to ask David, what do you think of that, David, in the wide areas? Is it tough for, I mean, like Yang and Palmer, are they doing enough? Are they close enough to that starting team?
No. Hopefully, come the 31st, we might have two new players in, on the one on the left, one on the right, which would be Kieran Tierney and hopefully Jota.
I think Celtic fans would all take that, Andy. But is that, because I forget Celtic, I've always felt a wee bit sorry for wingers, because when they have to come in and prove themselves, it's so obvious when it's not working for them. Do you know what I mean? If you try and go by somebody and you don't do it, or you get to the byline and you don't cross it, you know, there's no real, like, safe option, if you like. You can't just get through the game. You need to make something happen. Is that a particular for the supporting cast, Yang, Palmer, are they struggling a bit with that?
I think that's something Yang struggled with since he's came in at Celtic. I think any time he's came off the bench, I think he's made an impact, he's looked lively. But I think any time he's been given that jersey and that starting berth, I don't think there's been quite the same output. I think Palmer's had his moments, but I think especially over the last sort of 6, 7, 8 months, I don't think he's done anywhere near to threaten Dizemeda's position in the team. But I do feel going into the January transfer window, I do think that's going to be an area that Celtic are going to strengthen. I think, no, the wider areas in the front three. Yes, when the bigger games come, it is Maeda, it is Coon. But if they are to lose one of them through injury, I just don't think they've got a real natural replacement they trust at the moment. Unless, you know, we can remember the last sort of couple of January fixtures between Rangers and Celtic. You know, Celtic sign Alistair Johnson, gets flung straight in. Sign Josip Juranovic, gets flung straight in. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, we see a new face come in the door early January for that game.
So Kyogo getting a bit of stick, David, is it fair or harsh?
It's a bit harsh on him at the moment. You've got to have the service. He made a mess of the one going through in the goalkeeper. He tried to fluff it and hit the ground. But Kyogo, Rangers would rather he wasn't in the team than as in the team. He comes alive against Rangers. Comes alive. Whether he's scoring or whether he's setting up goals, he'll come alive in the 2nd of January.
I can see why people have that hope, because he's done it so many times. Probably was a bit quieter in the semi-final as well. Is he in In any danger of making way for Adam Ida in the so-called bigger games at the moment?
Not in the bigger games, no. I think these couple of home games coming up, Motherwell and St Johnstone, wouldn't surprise me if he'd have started one or both of those games. But come the 2nd of January, if Nicholas Coon is fit, the front three will be Maida, Kyogo and Nicholas Coon. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I suppose the problem is yesterday, Andy, Celtic don't manage to create much, so you need to take the one or two that come along. And it was such a strange pass, the way he passed up the chance. I mean, it wouldn't even go down. As I saw people bemoaning Celtic's lack of shots on target. That's because he didn't take one from however many yards out it was.
Yeah, you can see what he tries to do. Adam Ida, it's actually a lovely set into his path, and he just tries to open up his body and guide it with the left foot. But I don't know if he just maybe misjudges it. Is the pass maybe that little bit firmer where he can just step on it with his right foot and his side foot and just try and slot it back? But it ends up looks as if it gets caught, kind of caught in between his feet, and he obviously managed to sort of fluff his lines with it. But again, that was a passage of play that came for Stephen Welsh pass. It was a lovely pass into Adam Ida's feet. And, I think certain players struggle within the game. I think Yang was one. I think Palmer's impact as well. But I thought Stephen Welsh had a really positive impact for Celtic.
Is that always a combination then, Roger? Because maybe Kyogo's not been super involved all season. But if that's within a game that Nicholas Coon's flying and other players are all...
Callum McGregor's contributed six contributing, goals.
But then yesterday, Coon's not there, the others aren't, then, you know, focus more on...
Yeah, and listen, that's the life of a centre-forward, isn't it? Life of a goal scorer. You know, they're celebrated when they score the goals in the big games, as David refers to. And then when Celtic are looking for a goal in those last 10 minutes, people look to Kyogo to provide it. And yesterday, for once, he didn't provide it.
Let's thank David for his time. 01419511025. If you want to agree with what you're hearing, disagree, put a slightly different slant on it, do give us a call, please. 01419511025 right now. The Celtic manager says they didn't have a clinical edge at Tannadice.
Yeah, I thought we'd obviously had enough of the ball. I think the only thing that was missing was that clinical edge in the final third of the pitch. We arrived into the areas that we wanted to often enough. First half, we never hit the target anywhere near. We never made the keeper work. Second half, again, obviously, and give credit to Dundee United because they defend it well, but we still arrived into all the areas that we wanted to, but just couldn't quite make the breakthrough, and had good chances, I feel, to do that. So the longer the game goes on, you don't score, then it gives the opponent that wee bit of motivation. But to be fair to the players, they kept going, they kept fighting. As I said, my only downside today was we didn't get the goals. So that's what wins you games.
And he says the won't use the absentees as an excuse. He's happy, as Andy alluded to, with the players that came in.
No, I thought that like Sir Stephen Welsh coming in, I thought he was excellent, considering he hasn't played for so long. Him and Liam Scales, we controlled most aspects of the game. But like you say, like Sir Nicholas, who's been in real good form for us, Ali. But I'm still, you know, we can't use that as an excuse. I thought that, as I said, some of our play, getting through the pitch and into the areas, you know, we'd what, 78% of the ball, so we had a lot of possession, which tells you then in the final third of the pitch, that was the only downside to the game. So we didn't have too much to worry about the other way, a couple of corners at the end, but otherwise we just failed to take our opportunities to score.
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, Brendan will be as frustrated as anyone. It's very unlike Celtic, you know. It's not often, as you say, Gordon, but two draws in the league this season. You can describe the Premier Sports Cup final as a draw as well, I suppose, but very seldom they don't score a goal, Celtic. So you can detect the frustration there. There was a lack of creativity. Maybe that's down to the absence of players like Nicholas Coon and Alistair Johnson. You know, they started without Engels or Bernardo yesterday, and it didn't quite work. I think it was 5 minutes from the end before Arnie Engels got sent on to try and retrieve the situation.
He had a decent chance as well, didn't he?
It was just a frustrating afternoon for Celtic in difficult conditions. And you have to say, Dundee United, for a newly promoted team, have done really well this season. You know, they went to Ibrox and got a point when Dalby scored. They frustrated the Rangers at Tannadice and needed a very good goal by Tom Lawrence, if you remember back. And now they've taken a point off Celtic at Tannadice. They are cemented in the top six. Jim Goodwin's done a really good job there.
Yeah, I think Jim Goodwin said he, you know, obviously wishes they could have done a bit more with the ball, and they are threatened a bit more. But is that one of them that gets to a point in the game and you know that you dig in and come away with a point, and it's obviously a good point any time team like Celtic come to town.
Listen, I think with their game plan, the way they set up, I don't think they were expecting many chances, but I think they had a half, you know, they had a couple of opportunities to put the balls in the into the box earlier, a couple of corners where I feel as if they could have done a lot better. But on the flip side, you know, like I touched on at the top of the show, an area where Celtic have been so strong this year, that's 13 clean sheets in 16. For me, that's obviously fantastic form. And you see, like we talked about, the three new boys coming in, the fact that they managed to, you know, seamlessly keep up that defensive record is mightily impressive.
Right, perfect time to call 01419511025 right now. Let me tell you about this first though.
Christmas Eve cash dash. Win over £500,000. Our biggest ever cash prize. Clyde One.
This is your very last chance to win life-changing cash before Christmas. And I don't want all these to sort of, you think, ah, there they are banging on about a big amount of money again, and not really take in this amount here. Seriously, £524,000. That is an outrageous amount. £524,000. And if you text yes to 61025, you get 5 for 1 on your first entry. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rio Network competition are at Clyde1.com. Now the lines close at 3 p.m. tomorrow. If we ring your phone, just answer it, and the £524,000 is yours. It goes straight into your bank after the call. Somebody must win the lot as well. It is a guaranteed winner. So text yes to 61025. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here wearing their festive get-up since it's a couple of days before the big one. I've had a message in though. Someone's not happy with you. My grandkid just put on the live stream, two grown men belittling themselves in a manner unbecoming of the journalistic profession.
Is that from Hugh Keevan?
It is from Hugh Keevan.
Certainty.
There you go. He's not happy.
Certainty.
He is
the
not
Grinch.
Happy at all. Right, let's bring in Jim, who's on the line. How's it going, Jim?
Good evening. I'm doing fine, thank you. Thanks very much for listening to me.
Pleasure. What made you call tonight?
Thank you. Well, I'm a Celtic supporter. I'll get that over right away. Mm-hmm. I was very disappointed in the way Dundee United had set up at the weekend. I thought it was so boring. I would hate to have been a Dundee United supporter, maybe paying £30, £35 to go and watch it. I thought it was just absolute rubbish. And it's not a good message for Scottish football, I don't think. And no wonder their supporters are staying away.
Do you think it was drastically different from what Celtic did away to Atalanta?
I just feel it's so boring football. It's not the kind of football you want to go and watch. That's all.
If I'm Jim Goodwin, and I'll give you an example of this in a minute, Gordon, it was actually an example you used in the show on Saturday, but 24 hours before this happened. Why would Jim Goodwin open up and let Celtic beat them? Because Celtic have got better players than a better team. So if you open up and try and play against Celtic and go for it, they'll cut you open. Now, you used the example 24 hours earlier. In the first half at Ibrox, Rangers against Dundee, Dundee just parked the bus. They parked the bus.
And Rangers didn't look like scoring.
Rangers didn't look like scoring. First minute of the second half, Dundee stepped up, brought the line up, and Rangers cut through them and scored the only goal of the game. So, you know, Jim Goodwin at no stage was going to throw caution to the wind and allow his players to be punished by Celtic. He will be quite happy with the point he's got. He'll be delighted with the start Dundee United. I'll tell you, Jim, I've seen quite a bit of Dundee United this season, and when they're not playing against Celtic Rangers, they play completely differently. And for a newly promoted team, I think they've been a breath of fresh air in this league this season. They've got some really good signings. Will Ferry, left wing back, not Will Ferrell, who models himself in my outfit. The lad Adegboyega, who didn't play yesterday on loan for Norwich, good player. Sam Dalby up top, so he's the leading scorer in the league, so they must attack at some stage.
Jim, I'm not saying it's the exact same before anyone, you know, gets upset about it, but to go back to the example, you know, Celtic went to Atalanta, they only had 33% possession, they only had two shots on target, and everybody praised it as, you know, that's what you need to do when you're up against a better attacking team. Well done. Backs to the wall, great defending, ride your luck, you know, that sort of stuff. and we acknowledge it because Atalanta are very good and that's what Celtic need to do. Why are our smaller teams not allowed to do that? We always talk about budgets when it's the Champions League. Jim Goodwin could only dream of bringing on Arnie Engels and Adam Ida. So why is it okay for the big team, our big teams, to do it in Europe, but our small teams can't do it domestically?
I just feel it's boring football. And if I was a Dundee United supporter, I wouldn't be going to watch them playing against Celtic or Rangers. They might play better than that against the smaller teams. That's fair enough. But there's no way I'd be spending my money to go and watch them playing the bigger teams if they're going to set up like that and just park the bus, as you say. So I just want to get my point over. I wasn't happy with it, and that was me.
Fair enough. I mean, it's more because we hear this a lot, Andy. Oh, and it's only when points are dropped, by the way, that we hear it.
Well, I was literally just about to say, you quite rightly compared it to Dundee's performance at Ibrox. Was it any difference in the approach Ross County had at Celtic Park with a loss 4-0? Just Celtic were good. They created loads of chances in the final third. They managed to break the deadlock, which is always the most important thing when you play in these games against a team that are that low block and they're there to frustrate. The longer you give them what they're looking for to hold on at that 0-0, they'll not come out, they'll not be more expansive. That's why I was really surprised at the way Dundee changed leading into the second half. But that first goal is so important. And then you look at that, that Hatate chance that he flashes across the goal, and then the Kyogo one that we spoke about where he fluffs his lines. If that goes in, it's a different Dundee United, it's a different approach because they want to come back into the game. But again, Celtic just weren't at the levels that they've been at this season to break down the door.
Roger, like I said, I know I get biased and always want to protect our wee teams having, been through this many times. I just feel like we can't have that both ways.
No, we can't have it both ways. I watched Tottenham Liverpool yesterday.
Yeah.
And Ange Postecoglou throws caution to the wind like no one in professional football has ever done before, and refuses to temper the style of play, and has now lost 9 goals at home in 4 days. Now, would Tottenham fans prefer that he lined up the way Dundee United or Dundee? Ange's been criticised for playing the way he does. Now Jim Goodwin's been criticised for playing the way he does. We can't have it both ways. You're right.
But also, see, to be fair on that one, at least Spurs and Liverpool are in the same, stratosphere when it comes to finances. Yeah. That was why I think the comparison of our teams. And by the way, again, if Celtic go through in this Champions League, as it looks like they might, and they draw one of the big boys, and they have 25, 30, 35% possession and dig out a result, we'll all praise them.
Yeah.
We will. So let's not be hypocrites about it.
I can imagine Dave Galloway up in Radio T tonight saying what a great performance it was by Dundee United to get their tactics spot on as the Christmas tree breaks the microphone.
If you offer me a part of the bus now on Thursday, I think I'd take it in the garden, to be honest with you.
How'd you fancy tracking that Celtic midfield with a belly full of turkey?
It's not going to be easy, but we'll see how it goes. Hopefully I'm not wearing this outfit while performing either.
He'll be the ones. Gaffer, I thought we'd maybe be rotating the team at this time of year. He's hoping for it, isn't he?
Do you know what? It's not bad though.
The outfit.
That's the first time I've seen you wear anything green.
You look brilliant. Honestly, I'm being serious. Your suit being an elf.
Could maybe keep it going through January.
I don't know how to take that. Your suit being an elf. Jim, is it Jim? Yeah, Jim's actually disappeared. I was going to bring him back, but I suppose if we're looking at that, is there previous caller talking about, are there any signs there? He doesn't think so. Thinks it'll be comfortable on January 2nd. Talking about Kyogo, how important is it that Kun does return to fitness soon?
Yeah,
just given what's in reserve.
Well, we're sitting here just about the midway part of the season. Nicholas Kuhn is favourite to be the player of the year. He has been the best player in the Premiership this season. His numbers are terrific in comparison to what they were in the second half of last season when he first arrived. We know why. So if you have any team and you take their most creative player out of the team's not going to be as good. So Celtic will want Nicholas Kuhn back as early as possible, and they'll definitely want him back for the 2nd of January.
I did say somebody out there would think it was the exact same. Dundee United were at home, Celtic were away to Atalanta. That's a ridiculous comparison, says Dispirited Dan. Look at the financial gulf. That would be the point.
It's Christmas. Come on.
Come on, Dispirited Dan. Chill out.
Good.
It is Christmas. Have a good one when it comes. Where are we? Yeah, I think it is. I think we could do it right now. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Ah, This is a real collector's item, because winning any Monday on Beat the Pundit is difficult. You know that if you topple Roger Hanna or Andy Halliday, you have the ultimate bragging rights, because they never lose. But imagine doing it whilst they are dressed as either an elf in Roger Hanna's case, or a Christmas tree in Andy Halliday's. Will you wear the head of the Christmas tree for Beat the Pundit?
Do you want me?
Ah, absolutely. I think it'll make very good.
No problem.
Very good content, as they say. Right, let's give it a go just now then. 01419511025. That is the number. If for some reason you're unfamiliar, here's the deal. Call that number before 7 o'clock. If you get through, you come on here, you get the same questions as Andy Halliday or Roger Hanna, and you see if you can beat them with your football knowledge. 30 seconds to do so. So I know a lot of you out there know your stuff. Give us a call before 7 o'clock and we will play Beat the Pundit next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Talking baubles all year long. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 01419511025. Please give us a call and let us know what you're thinking after the weekend. This will be our final show before Christmas, so it'll be nice to catch up with as many of you as possible between now and 8 o'clock. Looking back at Tannadice yesterday, talking about Celtic's absentees and whether that is any sort of sign of things changing in the title race, or is it just an inevitability that these days will come along. We've spoken about Dundee United's tactics, one Celtic fan not too happy about that. What about Rangers on Saturday? St Mirren fans, huge win, love to hear from you. Controversy all over the place. Even Andy Halliday admits he maybe got away with one on Friday night. We'll find out tomorrow, I think, if Dan Casey's won his appeal against his red card against Kilmarnock as well. And anything else that's out there, do give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. It is the top two in the table heading into Christmas. It's always a good omen, that, isn't it? Oh no, have you been beaten, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, you did get beaten once.
Yeah.
On your
this minus two thing.
So Andy Halliday,
you know, I thought you were back to minus one now. Still minus two.
So Andy Halliday, you are the only real 100%.
Who's the other one?
Your teammate Stephen O'Donnell, but he's only played once.
Oh, he's hopeless as
so
well.
That
did
doesn't
he win?
Count. And Ross McCormick played one, so it'll be tough to justify those. But you are out in the lead. You're the only 100% record. So we'll see how we go tonight.
And we've still taken this quiz between you and Scott Allen.
Yep.
Yeah. The only word to describe him on Friday when I asked him about it was bullish.
Oh, really? Good. Oh no, I thought cautious. I think the more it goes on, I think he's starting to become cautious.
You think?
Yeah. Derek's in Falkirk. How's it going, Derek?
Aye, good mate. Good mate yourself.
Yeah, all good here. Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
No, first time.
What made you call today of all days?
I'm 30 today, mate. So I just went.
Happy birthday, Derek!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Derek!
Oh, now we need to send you a sign ball, don't we?
He used to warn you, Derek. It was Gary Anderson's birthday yesterday, and he got popped out the darts.
Was it his birthday yesterday?
Yeah, 54 yesterday.
Oh, an omen that is. 20. My gran's birthday. There you go, Derek. You share a birthday with my gran. I'm sure you're delighted. We had a nice wee lunch today. Mm-hmm. 83, she is looking brilliant.
Well, that Santa suit looked a bit tight.
Listen, I overdid it at the lunch. I'm feeling lethargic tonight, I must say. Right, Derek. So you've never played before, but you just called because it's your birthday.
Pretty much, mate. I just went for it.
Brilliant. I love that. Absolutely. Right, what we'll do is we'll toss the coin. If it's H, it's Halliday. And if it's the other side, it's Lavi Hanna as well. That doesn't work, does it? You know what I mean? Heads and tails. Let's see how we go. Ooh, when it is, it's still minus two. Ooh,
minus two, on. Man. Roger, all the best, Hanna. Derek. Can I take my hat off?
Yeah, if you're not playing, you can take your Christmas hat off. Right, Derek, I'll give Roger something else to listen to so he can't hear us. You've got 30 seconds, Derek, where you just answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, no worries.
And by the way, don't forget, every correct answer, we're giving a tenner to Cash for Kids as well. And just to make it an extra bit of madness, they're all festive themed tonight. Don't let that put you off, okay?
All right, okay.
Right, your time starts now. How many Scottish Premiership teams traditionally play in red or green?
Three.
Name any Scottish team Noel Hunt played for.
Aberdeen.
True or false? Gary McAllister was born on Christmas Day.
True.
A deer appears on which top flight club's badge?
Ross County.
What club connects Christians, Nerlinger and Daly?
Dundee United.
Roy Carroll joined Rangers from which club?
Man United.
Okay. Roger Hanna, can you hear us?
Yep. Yeah,
minus two still for you.
Trying hard not to dance there. Hannity annoys me. He's
festive themed questions tonight.
Oh my goodness.
Festive themed. You ready?
Go for it.
Your time starts now. How many Premiership teams in Scotland traditionally play in red or green?
Three.
Name any Scottish team Noel Hunt played for.
Dunfermline.
True or false? Gary McAllister was born on Christmas Day.
True.
A deer appears on which Scottish top flight club's badge?
Ross County.
What club connects Christians, Nerlinger and Daly?
Rangers.
Roy Carroll joined Rangers from which club?
Man United.
True or false, there is a team called FC Santa Claus?
True.
Okay. What do you think, Derek?
I bottled it.
I don't think you sounded like you bottled it. I mean, I can't guarantee that you won. I didn't think you sounded like you bottled it. Do you know what's really worth? I glanced up at the monitor, Roger. They've zoomed in so much on you whilst you were playing Beat the Pundit that you can't really tell it's an outfit. Like, you can't see the context. It just looks like you've chosen a really weird hat for the show tonight. So I'm looking forward to watching it back.
You've done well to get a hat that actually fits me.
It looks great. I wonder if word of this has reached Gordon.
No. Clearly not. Otherwise, the phone would have been red hot.
Let's go through them and find out. Festive themed. Andy Halliday is the number one fan of Christmas in the show, so I think you'll like these. How many Premiership teams traditionally play in red or green?
That's a tough opening question.
Celtic, Hibs, Aberdeen. Three. We're happy. You both got it. Well done. Obviously, the play on the name here, Noel. Name any Scottish team Noel Hunt played for. You had the choice of Dundee United or Dunfermline, I'm afraid, Derek.
So, manager.
Yeah, just got the Reading job. Yeah. Okay, Roger is now one behind. The Gary McAllister, you'll know this, Andy.
I don't know.
You will.
I would have said true.
He is born on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Gary McAllister.
Landmark birthday this year as well.
60?
Yeah.
60
on Christmas Day.
You know
everything, don't you? I know. He really does. Anyway, right, so you both get that. So Roger's still one ahead. A deer appears on Ross County's badge, a stag. You both got it. Roger,
it was worth going there on Saturday to get that question right, Gordon.
Roger stays one ahead. The club that connects, Derek stays one ahead. The club that connects Christians, see what we did there, Nerlinger and Daly, is Rangers. Derek, you're a Rangers fan as well.
I know, that's a shocker.
Kicking yourself. Roger's level. Roy Carroll joined Carroll, see, yeah, Christmas. Carroll,
see what you've done there.
You both said Man United. West Ham.
Oh, was it?
Apparently, according to my sheet, anyway. And it all comes down to the last question. Derek was out of time. True or false, there is a team called FC Santa Claus. It is true. I mean, they play in the sixth tier of the Finnish league, apparently. Right, who knew? Which means, Roger Hanna, you've done it.
Yeah.
You've won it by one. I'm heartbroken for you, Derek. Birthday ruined?
Nah, mate.
Good on you. What else you got planned for the big day? Not much if you're on the phone to us.
No, what, mate? Just on route back to the Ivy, mate. So up the road.
Lovely. Excellent. Listen, you enjoy your birthday. We can send you this elf suit if you like, Derek. Believe me, I won't be wearing that again.
Brilliant, Derek. Right, you enjoy the rest of your night. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, mate. Have a good Christmas.
Good man, Andrew.
Have a good one, Derek.
Merry Christmas.
You should feel bad for beating Derek there.
I know.
Birthday. For goodness sake.
I was going to say, if it beat Roger, I would have stood in the corner of his house. Let them put presents under me.
Christmas tree. You must be really excited, though. I mean, we've said for a long time you are the number one fan of Christmas on this show.
I can't wait.
Nearly there.
Do you know what as well? I actually like Christmas Eve and Boxing Day every bit as much as I like Christmas Day.
We'll see how we go this Boxing Day.
Loads of players talking about going away with their teams the night before, you know, like Hibs, because Derby's at 12:30 and Boxing Day, they're in the hotel the night before. Christmas night, you're only at Celtic Park. You're not in a hotel, are you?
No, not at home.
Not
thankfully still at home yet, which is nice.
What does that schedule look like without giving it away to, like, if there's anything secret about there is? So what, train?
Christmas Day?
Train, Christmas
in
morning?
In slightly earlier than normal. Quick breakfast, video, and then it's slightly earlier in terms of your training schedule. And then after that, you know, you just go home. You don't need to eat if you don't want to. There's food there if needed, right. But you can just shoot off and get some Christmas lunch at home.
And then for park in the morning, Boxing Day.
Yep.
and travel?
No, because it's away. It'll be a destination somewhere for pre-match. Yeah.
Ah, right. See, that's not. You got a feel for the. I take it there'll be some teammates though that are up here and just be sitting in their flats themselves.
They're all banding in the same flat, which is good. I think there's six of them, maybe. They're all having Christmas dinner together. Yeah,
oh, I like that, Roger. See,
that's really
nice
good.
Community club.
Red Secret Santa the day as well.
Spirit. What did you get?
I don't know if I want to disclose it.
Oh,
I'll disclose it if you don't.
I got a Celtic branded shampoo and body wash.
You don't know who gave you it, obviously.
I don't know who gave me it, no. But it was in the bin quick and unwrapped it.
Which member of the Motherwell squad must have gone to the Celtic shop, packaged it up for Andy Halliday.
Hopefully somebody can find it for me.
I like that. If you are the Motherwell player responsible.
Do you know who I've heard likes Christmas a lot?
Loads of people.
Philippe Clement.
By the way,
Christmas and Gwen Stefani.
Talk to me about that. Is that him?
It's definitely him.
Have you seen it, Roger Hannah?
I have seen it, yeah.
Of all the things I did not expect last night was video footage on social media of Philippe Clement in Wonder Bar.
Honestly, loved it.
Christmas time.
Get on yourself, Phil.
It's like the busiest. You know, they always say like, oh, Celtic or Rangers manager, like, keep your head down. There's one thing going out. He's gone to the busiest place on the planet, it feels like.
It was how into the Gwen Stefani song he was. That's what made it really good for me. Like, he was loving it. The hollaback girl.
The first video, I thought, it's kind of too good to be true. Like, it might not be him. It might just be someone. But then there's another one from like a different. It's got to be him.
Super. Honestly, I loved it.
It's Gordon Dale's favourite haunt as well. I wonder if he was in the corner.
Oh, he loves it.
Your task for 2025 is to get Hugh Keevans in Wonder Bar.
Nah, I think that's mission impossible. But I was very surprised. He was just like, he's feeling good about the title race now.
He must have,
Celtic
yeah.
dropped points yesterday.
He must have. Going.
Was it last night actually?
No, I think it was Saturday night. Because in one of the videos, I think the Fury fight was on in the background.
Ah, see, Eagle Eye Halliday's. Yeah. You're right.
But he must have enjoyed that 1-0 to Dundee.
Incredible, honestly. Because you wouldn't go there if you could on a Saturday night. You'd get the life pest.
Do everything I could to stay away from it personally. No, but that's not really my scene.
He'll win Saturday night. He'll win it in Daddy's Home too, in a selection box.
Ah, he's a Christmas movie guy. But there we go. If anyone got eyewitness accounts of Philippe Clement's dance moves on Saturday night, we're here for you. That's that time of year. We can talk about all sorts of nonsense if you so wish. What about Charlie, who's on the line? How's it going, Charlie?
Hi, guys. How's it going? All right, Gordon.
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Hi, Charlie.
I'm on with a bit of nonsense, Gordon.
Go for it.
Talk about Celtic and where they've been going the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. I've got an idea that we were going to drop points yesterday. Obviously, when I've seen yet more team changes. I think Celtic are paying a price, if you like, for squad rotation. A few weeks ago, we were talking about we're getting to see all the players, and people were saying it was a positive thing, and it was good to see all the other players. You felt they were getting involved, and maybe he's keeping the squad happy type of thing. But there has to be a payment for this. There has to be something you give back, and that happened yesterday.
I don't think that was. But he said, you know, it was a bug or something, was it not? Because it's not like those players were on the bench, or, and I think Kuhn's even injured, so it wasn't really rotation, was it?
Well, he has been dropping a lot of players. Mm-hmm. How much it was down to a bug, and how much it was an eye on the 2nd of January, I don't know. But Brendan Rodgers is on some record somewhere. I remember from his first time up, he said he liked to finish the season stronger and he liked to finish matches stronger. That's what he was saying in the season. And I think he's doing that. I think he's trying to keep everything right for the back end of the season. He's definitely been thinking. Don't get me wrong, it's not just the squad rotation. It's led me to think that Celtic were going to be poor yesterday. Hatate, I talk about Rio Hatate, by the way. He's been terrible. He's been terrible for weeks and weeks. Come on, and he was on a cup final. I think it was his first five interactions, just give the ball away. You know what I mean? I know he's capable of great things, but he's been terrible. He's been terrible for weeks. And so that, and then we've not got him down the wing. We couldn't be enough. Anthony Ralston's crossing was rotten as well. I mean, he's ballooning balls. He's got to cross the ball 15 yards and he's hitting it 30 or ballooning it out of park. You know what I mean? So, yeah, the final ball wasn't there. The supply wasn't there. And you can't blame Kyogo. You know what I mean? He'd won a chance. You would have expected him to take it, but you can't take them all.
We do get the odd complaint about Rio Hatate's form in recent weeks, it feels like.
Yeah. Listen, it's been interesting because you know, prior to yesterday, and yesterday I think it's just a blip, but prior to yesterday, a lot of calls saying, you know, should Bernardo be getting it running the team? Should Luke McCowan be getting it running the team? What do you do with Engels? Do you try and keep him in there to play through this little tough spell that he's having? Should Hitati be in the team? So I think there will be more rotation in these next two home games. Wouldn't surprise me if Bernardo and Engels, who didn't start yesterday, do start against Motherwell on Boxing Day. But again, as we said about Kyogo earlier in the show, when it comes to January the 2nd at Ibrox, I fully expect Rio Hatate to start.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you pointed out a lot of that was down to potentially a bug that new faces coming in. And I do feel like looking at the team yesterday, I do think that midfield area was still really strong. But again, the one that impressed me the most out of that midfield three was Luke McKibben. I thought he was a constant threat. Didn't quite get the same output as Rio Hatate from the other side, but again, it's got to be said, I do feel as if that 2nd of January game was tomorrow, I still think Rio Hatate plays. I think he's so trusted in these bigger games. I think in the European games for Celtic this year, he's done really well. I think he's going through a little dip in form just now, but I can't imagine it will last too long.
I mean, Charlie, for a lot of other people in your fan base, they'd maybe say that, you know, you've got to Christmas, you've only dropped points twice. I think it's only like Rodgers' invincible season, Martin O'Neill's treble season, and maybe one or two others that top it for points gained at this point in the season. So is it not all a bit kind of over the top to be too critical?
I basically your point here, Gordon, but Celtic's levels have risen consistently for years now. It's just the performances. They've been playing half a game for most of the season. The Leipzig game aside, it's not that they've been doing it for 90 minutes in every game, you know what I mean? They've been very hit and miss a lot of times, I think.
Yeah, I think the issue with rotation, Roger, is like, take Ross County a few weeks ago. Was that the 6 or the 8 changes? 6, I think. You know, Scales, McCowan, I think Bernardo, Ida all not only came in but scored. Yeah. McGregor scored 5-0 up at half time, and everyone says, oh, you know, look at the strength and depth. Yeah. And then yesterday it doesn't work. So then, I don't know, I mean, once you're 5-0, this is what I'm talking about with the expectations. Nothing in the second half, said Charlie. 5-0 up after 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for fans of other teams, that I get it, because maybe Celtic do feel they've raised their own bar and they want to keep pushing it and standards and all this stuff, but we can't be in a position where teams are grumbling at not scoring in the second half after they're 5-0 up.
If we're sitting here next Monday night and Celtic have drawn at home to Motherwell and Celtic have drawn at home to St Johnstone and the gap's down to something like 5 points, then phone back, Charlie, and we can have a discussion about this. But I genuinely think yesterday was just a blip. You know, as you say, three of the changes were in the back four and they kept a clean sheet and the United didn't have a meaningful effort on target.
And Kuhn was injured.
Johnstone was injured. The two centre-halves were ill. So, listen, these things happen. As you said yourself, Gordon, you're not going to get through this season with 38 wins from 38 games. There are going to be afternoons like yesterday. And what you would praise Celtic for is they've sort of minimised those afternoons this season, because when they've gone away from home, even up at Dingwall, you know, they were one down at Dingwall for a long, long time and they got two goals in the last 20 minutes and they won the game. So I think the big surprise yesterday is they just couldn't get that goal.
Oh, listen, Charlie, you talked about raising the bar, something we spoke about a wee bit earlier. Is there an area going into the January transfer window you'd like to see Celtic strengthen?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, everybody's talked about left back. We've talked about left back before the start of the season, and we know that this boy here is going to be away to Barcelona, Valle. I rate Greg Taylor. I think he's got a great footballing brain. He's quick. He's tremendous, like a quick brain. But I can see cover coming in there. If Kieran Tierney come back, you know what I mean? You would happily see two boys, because they're still in their mid-20s. They could secure that position. That was something Celtic maybe now need to think about for the next 6, 7, 8 years. You know what I mean? They could tick it off, put our position to bed, so to speak. Maybe left back.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that, cause we've heard the Kieran Tierney chat over the last couple of weeks or so. That left back position doesn't seem like a problematic area for me when I look at Celtic. Well, I think you've got the debate between who plays out of Greg Taylor and Alex Faye, because they're both really good options. I don't think it's because they're two poor options
is
to
it,
play in.
Is it because of who that left back is, though, where it's seen as, if fit, which everyone keeps saying, it's seen as like a definite upgrade and one that on paper Celtic, you know, could get? You're not plucking a name. is Kieran Tierney in the legs. Yeah,
but do you not feel as if that has been an area that Celtic spoke about even recently before Kieran Tierney's name came popping up, that it was potentially available? For me, I do look at that sort of that wide area where I do think if there is a longer term injury to a Nicholas Kunin, a Dyson Maid, I think that's the only real area to me that I look at the field that could strengthen.
I think if they sign Kieran Tierney, and I think there's a genuine chance they will, I think we need to sign a second left back as well, because Vi will go back to Barcelona. And if Kieran Tierney's coming in, I don't see Greg Taylor signing a new contract. I think Greg Taylor will go in the summer if Kieran Tierney returns.
Well, thank you, Charlie. 01419511025 is the number. If there's anything else you want off your chest before Christmas, please do it, and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Hugh.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna is here, so is Andy Halliday, and it's your final Clyde One Super Scoreboard before Christmas. I don't know who gave us Christmas Eve off, I have to say. I've done Christmas Eve shift many times over the years, but this is our last one, and then the games really, really come thick and fast. Andy Halliday was giving us the Motherwell Christmas Day schedule. We know there are big games on Boxing Day, and then in the days that follow, and Derby Day for many on the 2nd of January. So give us a call, please. 01419511025 is the number that you need. I think two men of your intellectual capacity will eat this full-time teaser alive, but we'll float it anyway. Will we do the old try and not get any wrong type? Because I think it's pretty easy. Ari and Harrogate, thank you very much for sending it in. No prizes for guessing who Ari supports, because the question begins: forgetting Sunday's League Cup final brackets, if that's possible, since 2018, who are the last eight players to score an Old Firm goal in the month of December? So, since 2018, can you name the last eight players to score an Old Firm goal in the month of December?
Nikola Katic.
Yes, Andy.
Ryan Kent. I couldn't even remember who scored that first goal.
Yes. One more guess from you, either of you, and we'll move on.
Kyogo.
Yes. Okay, let's leave it there. Before last Sunday, since 2018, can you name the last eight players to score an Old Firm goal in the month of December? Kyogo, Katic, Kent. We'll see if these two can do it without getting any wrong. I suspect they will. We're going to need as many of your full-time teasers as possible in the new year, so please do keep emailing them in. You should all have a bit of time off, hopefully, over Christmas. Send them into us, fulltime@clyde1.com. Tom's in Gourock. How's it going, Tom?
Ah, good evening, Gord. Thanks again for having me on. Best wishes to the panel. Christmas wishes. The hope you have.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Same
really
to you.
Thank you, Tom.
Best of time. You know, one of my questions to obviously Andy, you know, being I'm a Rangers obviously fan, to Andy, who I've got great admiration for. You know, he stuck by the club. What I'd like to ask Andy is, how does he? You know, looking at the club, I know he's playing for Motherwell at the moment, he's played for Hearts, but I know he's a kind of Rangers man through and through to a degree. Rate the chances, you know, if we win, Andy, on the 2nd, you know what I mean? Obviously, Dundee United's done us a wee favour. Yesterday, we dropped him a couple of points, you know. It brings it down to 6 points. How would Andy, and how does he rate the team as such?
Andrew?
I think my answer would be different if you phoned in and asked about it maybe a month ago, Tom. But I do think there's been an upturn in performances. I think there's clearly been a change in shape, a change in style. I think they press differently off the ball as well. So I think Philippe Clement deserves a lot of credit. Not being too stubborn, trying to change certain things. And listen, although they didn't win the game, I thought their two performances in the 4 days between the Spurs game and the Europa League and the Celtic game in the final was a lot more than I expected Rangers to give in terms of performance levels. So I think looking at it now, I think the squad's maybe in a better place than I gave it credit for initially. But if you're asking me in terms of the context of what this league campaign is going to look like, I think even if Rangers win the game in January the 2nd, I do think Celtic are going to go and win the title. That being said, I do think that I'd imagine Rangers are going to be active in January. I think there's been murmurs they're looking to offload one or two as well to again free up wages. But I do think there's certain areas in the squad that they do have to strengthen. But listen, I think...
What are they?
Well, centre-half, I think, is a real priority, given you know John Souter, unfortunately, he's had a real tough time with injuries over the years, and it just you know, felt like he was really getting into a rhythm and playing really well for club and country. I thought he was excellent for Scotland in the last two games as well. And I thought he was a real key figure and one of the first names in the team sheet, and then that obviously injury comes at a real poor time for himself. And listen, I think it's fair to say that Robin Proper's not exactly set the world alight. I think he's been a lot more impressive over the last few weeks or so. But I do think, again, that's an area that Rangers need to strengthen. They've got Dujon Sterling playing in there, who, you know, albeit can play in certainly most positions. But again, I think that for me is certainly an area, and I do think the wider areas, again, I feel as if I say this every single transfer window when it comes to Rangers, but I do think... No, any team I've watched Bajrami, I've been relatively impressed with him. I just don't see him as a winger. Mm-hmm. I see someone that's a lot more effective inside the pitch. But again, a lot of these sort of upturning performances we're talking about is the re-emergence of Yanis Adji from nowhere. And no, Nicholas Raskin showing the form that we've seen for the first 6 months of Nicholas Raskin. It's not really been one of these new signings really kicking into drive. But I do think that one player that's almost been a consistent since the sort of first month of the season has been Vaclav Cherny. I think he's been a real find, and it's just unfortunate he's only on loan, and it would demand a big fee to keep him past
Tom,
the summer.
Tom, are you asking the question because this weekend has got you a bit excited, or?
Yes, it has. But again, I was going to ask Gordon, you know, to Andy again. I seriously don't think if Souter would have been playing in that game at the weekend, I don't think we would have lost that game. And Andy's points on that, because the way we lost the especially the second goal, I thought was poor. I don't think we would have lost that goal. I've got a lot of time for Balogun, don't get me wrong, you know, but it's the back four. It's having that back four, a settled back four, which we've never really had for a long, long time, Andy. You know what I mean? It's like, it's chop and change, you know, so... just Andy's thoughts on it, basically.
Wonder how
we don't
know the time frame, do we? We know that Philippe Clement said he would definitely, Souter would miss the games in December.
Yeah.
And then we'd see him in January. Obviously, everybody knows the main one in January comes pretty quickly. Yeah. So I don't know how only a couple of days into the month.
Really, really difficult to read too much into Philippe Clement's comments, but it does seem like that game in the 2nd of January is going to be
just too busy planning his night out to Underbar.
I do think that game of the 2nd of January seems as if it's probably going to come too early. He's seen him clutching at his sort of groin area when he was coming off, and if he's already missed a couple of weeks, you're doing envisages it's probably a tear of some sort. So I think that game's going to come a wee bit too early, but I'd be amazed if Rangers aren't actively looking at that area already for January. And do they want to try and move pretty early in the window to try and get someone in?
Your old pal Liam Kelly finally got his Rangers debut in unexpected circumstances.
He did, absolutely delighted for him. It was funny because I had maybe 10 minutes within looking at the team sheet and not seeing any real surprises there, Jack Butland or whatnot. And then I actually got a text from my mum, believe it or not, who's a good friend of Liam Kelly's mum, saying, oh, Liam's starting. So, brilliant. Listen, he's been at the club for the best part, I think, nearly 20 years on and off. Been there since he was a young boy. And, finally got the chance to make his debut, gets a clean sheet. He wasn't exactly busy, I would say.
See, if you're a goalie, do you think you want to be just a wee bit busier?
I think so, but what I will say is I thought his distribution with his feet was really good. I thought he played a couple of great defence splitting passes, and you know Liam Kelly as well as anyone. One of his main stems says he's very comfortable with the ball at his feet, but yeah, I don't think his gloves would have been too dirty after the game.
And congratulations to the Birtlands as well.
I was going to say.
Another arrival. Well done.
I think people were worried... because of these games coming round, maybe it was an injury for Jack Butland and so on, but had more important things to take care of, and
100%
he'll be back at it by Boxing Day, you'd imagine.
Yes, I would think so. Yeah, I'd be back in.
Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He says he's not taking any real notice of moving into second place. He thinks they can still have a successful season if they just focus on themselves.
No, it's not a target. I told you guys, and maybe you don't believe me, but it's about us, what we do. And I'm convinced that we can make a good season then. In that way, if we focus on ourselves and not to be focused on other teams, like we didn't do in that period, and it's about us taking the points and not looking at other teams. So we will continue in that way and making the team better and progress and taking more points than we did in the first couple of months, because it was not enough. We all know that. We all knew that. So we want to make a better second part of the season.
Okay, keep the calls coming then, or tweet us if you'd prefer to do that at Clyde SSB. Don't let me interrupt you, Roger Hannah.
Sorry, we're trying to get a full-time teaser going, it's important.
Paul Wilkie, just to go back to the Celtic point from a few moments ago, says, if Celtic do sign Kieran Tierney, I agree with Roger, Taylor won't sign another contract. If I was Brendan, I'd be looking at the boy Penrice at Hearts.
He's doing very, very well. I think when I've always been doom and gloom at Hearts this season, he's been that real standout. In any game I've watched him, I thought in the derby I thought he was excellent. I thought the Celtic game where Hearts actually lose the game, was it to finish 3-0, I thought he was excellent that day as well. And again, he's three penalties in a row, though's not a great return, but I thought again he was impressive at the weekend, managed to get his first goal as well.
Would he be one of the signings of the season, Roger? Because also against the backdrop of a Hearts team before yesterday, there's really not a lot of positivity going around, but you couldn't grumble at that piece of business, could you?
It was his birthday as well, his first ever headed goal, I think. He's playing particularly well at the minute.
Just on the birthday chat earlier when they beat the pundit contestant, our colleague Stephen Mills sent me a message to say it's also Kenny Miller, which I did know because I remembered he shared a birthday with my gran, and Carol Smiley's birthday today apparently. I don't know how we've gone.
Smiley.
What about Kenny Miller as well? Another old pal of yours.
Yeah, brilliant. Give him a wee message
off to the MLS with Ronnie Dyla.
Absolutely terrific.
Atlanta,
and a division above Neil Collins, who's headed to America as well.
Be a strange time for managerial stuff, hasn't it?
Wow.
The Neil Collins one wins Friday night,
goes on Saturday, and then two days later James McPake leaves their Fife rivals Dunfermline, two Fife teams in the championship, both looking for managers.
I saw people pointing out like, I can't believe it, you know, you can't sack a manager like 2 days before Christmas. Is there anything in that?
I'm on board with that.
You would, Mr. Christmas.
I'm on board with that. I think that's poor.
I think George Burley was once sacked by United on Christmas Eve.
That's poor.
So you don't think it matters? You just think football can't abide the calendar in that way?
I think you just need to go on with it and just make the decisions that you make.
What do you do? He's got you can't do it Boxing Day.
Saying that he might get a better drink on Christmas than he would have if he was still on the job. So
okay, well, we'll see. Just on the subject of Celtic and personnel and so on, Kevin's given us a call. How's it going, Kevin?
How you doing, mate? Good, all good, all good.
Nice. What's your point tonight, Kevin?
I was just a thought on yesterday's game and just, you know, Celtic's future, who they're going to get for left back. I thought Luke McCowan starting yesterday was the guy was absolutely brilliant yesterday. I never thought he should have came off. Yesterday was a really, really, really good game. And I was just going to ask Roger Hannah on, do you think, you know, there's talks about Kieran Tierney coming back. Do you think that's just a cop-out?
Not necessarily. I think if you can get Kieran Tierney fit, and that's always been the key, Kevin. If you can get Kieran Tierney fit, he's an outstanding left-back. Following a picture at Arsenal, that's just Mikel Arteta's choice. You know, he went to Sociedad, a couple of injuries there, but he's a quality player. You know he's a quality player. And I think if Celtic can get him back, if a deal can be done, and if Kieran stays fit, he's an outstanding signing for Celtic. The one thing, and I think any Celtic fan I've spoken to about this in the last week or so, has all said the same thing. If you can keep him fit, he'll be a superb signing.
What do you mean by cop-out, Kevin?
All the injuries and, you know, why look at someone that had, never played a full season at Arsenal and all the injuries, why bring him back? What makes him going to be fit coming to Celtic?
Listen, that's the gamble. It's a gamble when you sign any player that they're going to stay fit. Kieran has had a checkered time in recent years in terms of injury. That, for me, would need to be factored in. With Celtic go and try and do the deal, I think...
But is that not... You know, if Kieran Tierney's fully fit, Celtic won't sign him. Celtic couldn't sign him. Do you know what I mean? He would be at a better level than that.
I'm not sure about that. I think Kieran's been away for 5 or 6 years. I'm pretty convinced...
Kieran Tierney presumably earns, and I'd never like to be, but somewhere in the region of six figures a week, right? So if he's fully fit and playing every week for Arsenal, he's not going to come back to Celtic.
Nah.
So the injuries are probably what makes Celtic able to get him.
What have opened the door. And Kieran's made a lot of money. I think Kieran, to use the old phrase, won't be particularly difficult to deal with. I think he understands the situation, Celtic understand the situation, and if a deal is done, and I think it can be done, if a deal is done, I think it will be reflective of where Kieran's standing in his career at the minute. But with a fair wind, it could be an astonishingly good signing for Celtic.
What do you think, Andy? You'll have heard all that about injuries mm-hmm. and about salaries and so on.
Yeah, listen, granted, we're talking about a completely different level of player on a completely different sum of money, but I remember the John Souter argument when he was getting signed with Rangers, and it was, you know, why are you signing someone with such an injury background? You know, the only kind of answer I could give is, you know, playing with him, if he stays fit, it'd be a really good signing for Rangers. But again, that is a huge question mark with signing these players and that backlog of injuries. And Kieran Tierney, unfortunately for him, it's been a real poor runner. Injuries he's had for a number of years now, it hampered his career at Arsenal, it hampered his loan move when he went out to La Liga with Sociedad. And again, he's been such a key player for Scotland as well, and, you know, missed him in some of these big Scotland games. So, but listen, I can't help but feel if you do get the opportunity to bring him back, you're going to take that risk.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, do you want it for the final say?
Subbed off yesterday.
Say it again.
Luke McCown, do you think they deserve to get subbed off yesterday?
No, I don't. I kind of just touched on it there. I think that, we spoke about the changes that Celtic made. Still felt that midfield area was really, really strong, and I do think that Luke McCown, for me, was the real standout of the three. I thought he was the one that looked as if he was going to unlock the door if Celtic were going to unlock the door. And when I seen the board go up and two changes being made after 60 minutes, I didn't expect Luke McCown to be one of them. Again, I was also surprised that, not to say that I'm saying he was deserving to come off, but, you know, when you see Adam Ida warming up to come on, it's usually Kyogo that's coming off for him. So I was surprised to see the two of them stay on the pitch and go to more of a partnership. But to answer your question, Kevin, I was really surprised to see Luke McCown come off the field.
Thank you very much to Kevin. Good points well made. Let's see how you two are faring on this teaser. So we're going to try and get the clean sweep. Let's not get any wrong answers, because you two are anoraks. Apart from last week, can you name, since 2018, eight players to score an Old Firm goal in the month of December? You've got Kyogo, Katic and Kent so far.
Alfredo Morelos?
No.
Dang, so.
Oh, he's thrown his teammate under the bus.
I thought you'd written it down as well.
No, because you showed me it and I wrote it down. Edward.
Yep.
Julian.
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there and we'll get the remaining three when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Roger Hanna, listen to this for a piece of breaking news. You know, I said at the previous part, this is our final Clyde One Super Scoreboard before Christmas. Usually we would, well, we have in years gone by, worked on Christmas Eve, but we weren't this year. Apparently, the reason is because tomorrow night, between 6 and 8, you can hear Mark and Dazzy's Christmas Crackers.
No way.
Where they play their favourite bits of the show and Christmas classic songs.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tune in for that for sure.
Outrageous.
Clyde One trying to sort of remodel them as an ant and deck for an older generation.
Well, they had the Boxing Day bonanza last year, that I seem to remember. And I haven't listened to it, I assumed it would be the last of its kind, but.
Was that the quiz one?
Clearly back for more. No, those two actually had their own show on Boxing Day last year.
The quiz one they done was brilliant. Good.
I think we should do that in the new year.
That was good.
Big fat quiz of the Scottish footballing year or whatever.
You made an appearance in that.
What was that, remember?
Oh, the Chaser.
The Hannah Rack.
So you did. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, we should bring that back. Anyway, tomorrow night, 6 until 8, if you really get nothing else to do, you can listen to those two.
Wrapping presents, won't you?
Yeah, something like that. Right, how's the teaser looking? Forgetting Sunday's League Cup final since 2018, named the last eight players to score an Old Firm goal in December.
I think that's
Kyogo, Katic, Edward, Kent, Julien. You've got three to get. Give me one more each.
If we listen to him, we're in trouble.
What do you mean listen to him? Who's texting you the answers?
Hugh Keevans. It's I think that's January. I think that's December.
Right. What are you thinking?
Right. I'll jump. Well,
what's the surest
Paolo
bet?
Bernardo.
Yes.
That's December. So that's right.
James Tavernier.
Yes. One to get. We'll get it before the end of the show. Is that what Hugh Keevans text you?
No. See, it was a 3-0 Van Bronckhorst game that I
Let me
was
see
January.
What Hugh text. I'm not going to tell you whether it's right or wrong. I'm just going to have a wee nosy just for my own personal benefit. Okay, doke. It's fine. Just leave that there.
Okay. I think that's that game.
Right, where do you want to start? Let's go to the Jambos, shall we? For a number of reasons. It was the most recent game. It was
my
yesterday.
Result of the weekend.
It was your result of the weekend. It's your former team. How big a win was that 2-1 win against St Johnston?
It was huge. For a number of reasons. I feel like for weeks now we've been saying, oh, this Hearts team's too strong to finish bottom of the league. This Hearts team's too strong to even be talked about in a relegation battle. But the longer it's went on, the results haven't been great. The result during the week in the Conference League, I thought, was a real low point of the season. You could see the reaction for the crowd. So I thought they were under a lot of pressure going into this game at the weekend. And like I said, for me, it felt like the first real six-pointer, certainly in terms of the teams at the bottom of the table. And again, started well. I saw a theme of what I've seen for Hearts recently, to be honest, specifically domestically. Going at half-time 1-0, probably should have been more. But as soon as St Johnstone scored that goal, I've played at Hearts, I know what it's like, I know what can happen with that crowd. I think if St Johnstone hold on to that one each for maybe 5-10 minutes, you can see that frustrations would start to build. It'd be a long 20 minutes, but I think the timing of that goal of the weekend that I gave to Blair Spittle, I thought was really important for them, and they obviously done really well to hold on to the lead.
I mean, it's extremely tight, Roger, but look, they're 10th now, they're 2 points above St Johnstone. Do you see Hearts only looking up now, or is it not that simple yet?
I think they have to, and I think at the end of the season we'll probably look back on yesterday's win as being a turning point. Last week for Hearts was lamentable. Lose to 10 men at Kilmarnock, 10 men for 85 minutes. Then they failed to beat the worst team in the Conference League and go out of Europe, costing them probably £1 million. It's a dreadful week. We're looking for a United at the next three fixtures: St Johnstone at home, Hibs at home, Ross County away. And we thought, if they make a mess of those games, they're in bother, and Neil Critchley's in real bother. Mm-hmm. So it was huge for them to win yesterday. The derby now is going to be great. I mean, Hearts, Andy's performance of the week, Hibs, my performance of the week, they've both suddenly come to life, and now they go head-to-head on Boxing Day lunchtime when Andy's ramping up his turkey sandwiches mm-hmm. for Parkhead.
I've actually seen that since Neil Critchley's came in domestically, they've actually got the fourth most points accumulated since he got the job.
I think so that might surprise people.
It feels worse for me. I was surprised when I read that. I feel as if the form's been a lot worse since he's been in.
Celtic, Rangers, St Mirren, the only teams who've taken more points since Neil Critchley came in.
Neil Critchley needs to get that stat out there.
I agree with that.
But I do think that the performance against Kilmarnock that last week was that poor.
True.
I think it kind of just sort of stays in your mind, isn't it, when you look at Hearts?
I think we've got now to the stage of the season that we thought we would get to at some point, where St Johnstone and Ross County are the bottom two.
They can
fight it out.
Let's keep a capital theme then, because the other one of you gave Hibs your result of the weekend. I mean, Martin Boyle setting up two and scoring one. That feels like a significant day because of what it does for Hibs, but also what it maybe does for Aberdeen. It's the day that saw Aberdeen drop out of the top two for the first time, Roger. People were already questioning things about bubbles and wheels and what was bursting, what had come off, etc.
You said in the show on Saturday, a good point, it only becomes a problem for Aberdeen if they're no longer third. You know, if they fall to fourth. I think if you get a new manager in and you go from bottom six to third place in the league, you'll take that. And I think that would be success in Jimmy Tillian's first season in charge. But the run of form they're on just now needs to be arrested, because Motherwell and Dundee United aren't too far away.
Six points, Motherwell are.
You spoke about St Mirren's form. They're on
eight
at the minute. So that can be closed up. So if Aberdeen finish third, good season. If Aberdeen don't finish third, bad season.
Quite a rut, Andy, isn't it? Because on one hand, it took to the last game before Christmas for Aberdeen to fall out the top two, which is excellent in isolation, if you like. But the way that's come about, I thought a few weeks ago that even, I know a lot of people said, look, Aberdeen will never finish second. Because of the gap and the numbers and the way they'd been playing, I still thought we could realistically have been looking at February, March before it started to sort itself out. But it's happened a lot quicker.
It's happened extremely quick. You know, the first points they dropped was obviously at Celtic Park, and it was a two each, and it was a comeback two each, where you were talking about, you know, there was a real possibility they could stay in that second place throughout the season. And then they go and beat Rangers at Pittodrie, and some of the results even after that, it was obviously extremely impressive, and it just shows you how quickly football can change. Because if you're then talking about an Aberdeen welcoming a Hibs at Pittodrie with the way the season was going, I mean, it was almost a tap-in in terms of both teams' form. but it just shows you how quickly it can change. I think that's a winless run of six games now. And it's funny, Gordon, you'd have been there as a Motherwell fan. I've been there as a player for Motherwell and Hearts. When you're on a run of form, you look at fixtures and you think winnable tie. But when you're on that poor run, you then look at the fixtures and think, yeah, well, where are these 3 points going to come from? And I think Aberdeen will probably be in that mode now, but all they need is that first win, you feel, again, to go and kickstart another run.
You were in Dingwall, Roger, and we said before the game only Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen, the top three, had come away from Dingwall with a win, and St Mirren go and do it. We said at the start, you think Eamon Brophy should have had a penalty, you think Killian Phillips probably should have had a penalty, balanced each other out. But nevertheless, Ocean Smith, last minute, free kick, hasn't scored since the opening day of the season. It's a massive win, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's bad for County. You know, if we criticise Hearts for losing against 10 men the week before at Kilmarnock, then we have to criticise County. At 55 minutes, they've just equalised. St Mirren have gone down to 10 men. You thought everything was in County's favour and they would go in and win the game, and they didn't. St Mirren, I should say, stabilised, then they rallied, then they scored a winner. And County are now down there. I think they'll be slugging it out with St Johnstone between now and May.
I think most people thought that would be the bottom two, Andy, and that's the bottom two now. Clearly it's too close to say that they'll stay there forever, but you know, pre-season predictions, maybe the league's starting to look a bit more like people thought it would.
Well, the best chance Ross County have at not being in that bottom two has been that home form ever since Don Kiwi got the job. That was the reason they stayed up last year, with the home fixtures that they managed to gather since he got the job. And even at the start of this season, it's continued in the same vein. And again, it was a result that I didn't expect at the weekend, especially given Scott Tansler sending off going into the final stages of the game.
Right, apart from last Sunday, can you name the last eight players to score an Old Firm goal in December? You've got Tavernier, Kyogo, Bernardo, Katic, Edward, Kent, Julian, and...
Is it Abada?
No.
I knew it.
That was Hugh Keevan.
Why are we listening to Hugh?
I have no idea why we're listening to him.
It's a much easier one for you, Andy. No.
Oh, for me?
29th of the 12th, 2018. 1-0, Rangers.
Ryan Jack
played in it. The one I played in it, didn't I get?
What chance have you got? Right, that is us. Until after Christmas, back on Boxing Day. You can listen to Mark and Dazzy's Christmas Crackers, or whatever it's called, between 6 and 8 tomorrow night. Enjoy the big day when it comes around. Merry Christmas to you, Roger Hannah. Merry Christmas to Mr. Christmas
and
himself,
to you,
Andy Halliday. And of course to you. We've loved every minute of it so far this year. A pleasure as always. Merry Christmas to you all when it comes. Hope you have a good time, and we will speak to you on Boxing Day. Enjoy the rest of your night.
It's Christmas trees leaking.